Hello, I'm Father Mitch Paquin. Welcome to EWTN Live. We bring you guests from around the world. Back on June 15th, we lost a Catholic broadcasting pioneer. He was the founder and president of Ave Maria Radio, and Al Cresta had gone to the Lord after a battle with liver cancer on June 15th. Tonight, we want to remember his life and legacy, both as a convert to Catholicism and a broadcaster. Joining me on set are three guests with many years of Catholic broadcasting experience among them. So please welcome the president and CEO of Ave Maria Communications, Mr. Michael Jones. Also, EWTN Radio's programming director, Mr. Tom Price, and EWTN president and COO, Mr. Doug Keck. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Good to have all of you. And also joining us via Skype from the Detroit area is Teresa Tamio, the host of Catholic Connection. And later in the show, we'll also hear from Dr. Ray Grendy, host of The Doctor Is In. Now, so we'll have five guests on tonight, but the passing of Al Cresta really is a big event in the Catholic media world. And actually, Mike, I want to start with you. You had very close association with Al, working with him in not Detroit, but in Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor is where we located.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And our station, our first station, WDEO, was actually Mother's first full-time radio affiliate. And it covers about 85% of the Archdiocese of Detroit and about 30% of the Diocese of Lansing. So I met Al in the year 2000, and by 2001, I was able to join him and help him build Ave Maria Radio.
I see. Now, first off, tell us a little bit about meeting him. How did you meet him, and then what was that? What was the relationship like?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually. I was in the cable television industry. I had a lot of friends at EWTN, and I was in Chicago at the time working for the Family Channel. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Catholic Radio appeared. Al wasn't on at that point, but the Catholic Radio then disappeared, and it came back, and then it disappeared again. I subsequently moved to Southern California. And there was Catholic Radio again, and that's when I heard Al for the first time. And I called my wife all excited about this new program that just was so engaging and Catholic, you know. And then Catholic Radio disappeared in Southern California. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I called my good friend Chris Wegemer. Right. And he explained to me the
Chris works here at EWTN.
Chris is the vice president of marketing, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what his role was then. This was 24 years ago. And so Chris explained the comings and goings of Catholic Radio, what was trying to happen, what was happening, and he introduced me to Al. And so Al and I corresponded and got to come to Ann Arbor and meet him. And after about 6 months or so, we were able to come to an agreement, and I've now got the job of my lifetime.
Yeah, so
we couldn't convince him to come to work for us, but apparently Al was able to convince
him.
Al was able to convince the Family Channel to go work for him.
Yeah. Doug, what was your early contact with Al Cresta?
Well, really, I knew the name from radio, and I remember the first time I ever saw him, I didn't meet him. He was standing in the lobby, he was looking for one of the shows we were doing, and I just kind of walked by and I recognized, oh, well, that's Al Cresta. And one of the things that happened was over a period of time, EWTN with our network, et cetera, we work very much with other apostolates. You know, we don't control the other radio stations directly.
Right.
We don't own them, et cetera. That's never what Mother wanted. She always wanted us to focus on programming. And so we have to rely on great partners to distribute that programming and make it available. And Ave Maria was really one of the biggest, one of the groups that we dealt with. And over a period of time, we just found that we were so simpatico with their approach and getting to know Al in charge there and starting to talk back and forth, where we actually made an arrangement where we became a partnership in some of the programs, at least the ones that we carry on the network, like Al's show would have been, and Teresa's and Dr. Ray, those particular programs and some other things. And so over a period of time, we just got to have a good relationship. And, you know, Al was so well-versed. He's so intelligent, knew so much. He reminded me of you. You know, now in his case,
I don't know.
In his case, he's
had a nice man, though.
In his case, he had a strong faith, but
and a
which
nice
he married
man.
With his night. He didn't know as many languages as you know, but he was just a great guy to work with and a confidant. And one of the great things I would always remember, we'd have the conference, the radio conference, up here, and one of the things we'd always make sure we could do is if we couldn't all get together, at least sometimes Al and I would always try to have lunch together on a side just to kind of talk about, you know, our take on things and where we thought the industry was going and et cetera. And, you know, I'd like to believe that he was interested in my counsel because I certainly was interested in his.
Yeah. Tom?
Al first came onto my radar in the early 2000s when you first heard him in Southern California on a different network, and I thought, well, this is a different approach. Yeah. And as a programmer, I'm always looking for something that is not exactly like other things. In other words, you don't want your 2 o'clock show to sound exactly like the 3 o'clock show, because why not just make the 2 o'clock show 2 hours long? But Al brought something to the afternoons that was really unique, and it was a way to, as people are, you know, driving home or fixing dinner, you can think. Yeah. So one of the beauties of radio, of course, is that it is the original multitasking thing. Yes. That you can listen to the radio while you're driving, while you're doing other things. Right. And Al made us all think. Yeah. And that was a wonderful thing.
That's true.
Yeah, I always thought of him. I have known him the longest then, because I met him in the early 90s. I was on his radio show when he was still a Protestant. He was doing Protestant radio, and he invited me to be a guest. I thought of just to have a discussion about some Catholic and evangelical shared interests, but he told me then that he was in the process of becoming Catholic. And we also struck up a good friendship. And I always think of him as someone who could remain so calm as he dealt with so many issues, because he was not only well-versed and intelligent and very knowledgeable on lots of issues, but he knew how to think clearly. And he was at peace with himself and with God, and he could be very relaxed with the people that he spoke with. We also have one other person with us we can reach now, and that's Teresa Tamio. Teresa, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Father.
Hey,
how are
Teresa.
You?
Teresa Tamio, a lot of you here on radio, but now this is she right here live. Thank you for joining us. It's great. I know you have to do radio back tomorrow morning, and I should be there with you doing that show. But what are some of your own reflections on Al Cresta?
Oh, my goodness. Where to begin? Because I met him, Father, actually about the same time you did, back in the early 90s when I was still in the secular media. And I actually, it was kind of a combination of things. I met him through Tom Monahan, who co-founded the network with Al, yes, and also through a media fellowship group. Al and I were both in this group. He was still working in Protestant radio at the time. But there were a number of different folks from TV and radio and print, all of whom were Christian. And we would meet once a month at a local anchor's house. And we would talk about the faith, and we would pray together. And it was just a really nice meeting and kind of a catharsis for all of us, because some of the media were really starting to change and be anti anti-Christian, especially anti-Catholic. But he was so nice, and he said he followed me on my work in Channel 50 and Channel 7 here in the Detroit market. And then when they were starting Ave Maria Radio, he actually introduced, Tom Monahan actually introduced me to Al, said, hey, reintroduced me and said, you should think about hiring Teresa Tomeo, because I had met Tom Monahan when I was a secular media reporter and was doing several stories with him when he was slowly coming back to the church and selling off a lot of his prized possessions. And I can remember going to Domino's Farms, where Ave Maria Radio is right now, and doing this interview with Tom Monahan, and we were talking about being Catholic, and he noticed the spelling of my name, and he started telling me about what was happening in Catholic media. And then before you know it, I was in the EBA club, the cafeteria with Mike Jones, who's on set tonight, and we were mapping out Catholic Connection together, and that was almost 22 years ago. So I've known Al for probably, I'd say, at least 25 years. Incredible, incredible person. And to say that there's a loss, that's the biggest understatement of the century. It's just heartbreaking, really.
Yeah. And part of the loss that all of us would be aware, not only that we miss him, but we also know that he was suffering a good deal well before he passed away. It wasn't just the cancer. He'd been having lots of health issues. And that didn't stop him, but he certainly suffered quite a bit.
He did. In fact, one of my favorite commentaries of his was about redemptive suffering, actually a talk that he gave. In 2003, he lost his leg to necrotizing fasciitis, and that was a six-month battle. He was in the hospital for 5 months. Mm-hmm. It took 6 months to come back from that, and he would struggle periodically with various things throughout the years, but over the last year and a half or so, he began struggling with phantom leg pain, which is very severe at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had great difficulty getting that under control. And so basically, he suffered well. He lived well, he suffered well, and he died very well. And it's hard to mourn sometimes when, for the last 23 years, every day you got to speak about the things that matter most. And when your friend finally achieves the very focus of your relationship, it's hard to not be happy for him.
That's one of the other realities that, you know, because he is such a man of faith, he was a man of faith. He doesn't have to have faith now. You get to see God. That's one of the great things about heaven. You don't have to have hope anymore. You don't have to have faith, because you're there.
Yes.
This is love, yeah, that you got to keep. But faith and hope fade away when you die, because you see God and heaven and all. But, you know, he was very much a man of faith who, again, not only held to true doctrine and sought truth wherever he could, but he lived that out. I don't know if any of you have any comments.
Well, I just pick up on that because I think, again, to go to the comparison with you in some ways, in the sense that you're very interested in crossing over into taking that understanding of the Catholic faith and applying it, as Father Spitzer does as well, to the secular society and trying to show why we're having all the problems we have. But one of the great things that, you know, Al used to open up with, you know, with a Bible in one hand and the New York Times or whatever in the other hand, and that was the balance he was trying to bring. He was he could talk to secular people, he could talk to religious people about both issues back and forth, and that was what great about his show. And he had a competency in both of them, so when he talked about it, you knew he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
and it was very interesting because we live in a world today where there's been such a compartmentalization, a bifurcation of these things, where the secular and as you always talk about, freedom of religion, you know, versus freedom of worship. You know, you can worship okay, just make sure it stays in your house.
Right.
You're not allowed to take it into the public square.
That was the role of the communists.
Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what Al did, was to bring that. Where that came together, that intersection, and bring that for discussion and put some light on it, hopefully to help Catholics especially who are listening to get a better understanding of what's going on. Because as Teresa knows, and we talk all the time on her show too, is the idea that, you know, so many wonderful Catholic people are still getting their news and their input from a lot of the old style media, which are not the same newscasters and portrayers that they were, 30 years ago. It's not Walter Cronkite. It's not Huntley and Brinkley,
And there's
a lot more angled and bias, and you can talk to people, and I'm sure you do too. And Al would find, that you'd be amazed at these wonderful, good people and some of the misunderstandings and misapprehensions they had about what was going on and an application of their faith into society.
Absolutely. We'd like to show a little clip of Al Cresta. He came on the Journey Home program in 2007, talked about his own conversion to the Catholic faith, and it's always good to hear it right from him.
My story is not too unlike a lot of people's story when it comes to returning to the church. As an evangelical pastor, the questions that were forced upon me, questions that I never felt I had to settle before, but now as the pastoral authority, I had to settle, questions about the nature of the church, its unity, the nature of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism, what's really going on there. And I realized that the Bible alone couldn't settle these matters. And so why would I take this opinion rather than that opinion? And was I in the position of the Pharisees, where I was teaching as binding upon the conscience of my congregation opinions which I knew were simply one of many? I had no authority. I didn't know how close I was until an interview that I did on my radio program with Father Peter Stravinskas. It was a program that we dubbed Catholic Answers for Catholic Questions. Had a largely evangelical Protestant audience, 80-90%. But I knew there were Catholics out there because I met them in pro-life work and Operation Rescue. And so I thought we really should serve them more specifically because the Catholic thing is a little different. It's not just, there's something different about Catholics. So he came on the air with us and he did a great job. One caller phoned in, fundamentalistic, rude, bitter about us Catholics re-sacrificing Christ at each Mass. And Father Peter gave him an answer that was so stirring for me that I realized that this was actually what I had been striving to teach in my congregation. So I had this rush of adrenaline through me as he's speaking, and I said to myself, my God, I'm a Catholic.
And it was something of a surprise to him.
Yeah.
But it was, on the other hand, it was a smooth surprise because Al was so committed to truth because it's true, not because it had some politicized content to it. Tom, do you have any reflections yourself?
Doug mentioned the word balance, and I was blessed to be able to attend the wake last week and the funeral, and this is something that came up time and time again, not just balance between church and state, if you will, but also the balance between his public life and his family life. And as we all know, that sometimes people who are in the public eye, their families don't always fare so well. And he, from what everybody is saying, went out of his way to always be present for his wife, his kids, his grandkids, I believe 21? 21 grandkids, and he made time for them. And it wasn't just, oh, well, tell me what's new. Look at my watch. No, he really wanted to know. And then he would talk about that in subsequent conversations with whoever that was. I love that.
I think that's a very important part of him. He wasn't just, a talking head person. He was a well-rounded person that also made him and his presentation well-rounded and balanced. That was a good element.
Yeah, he truly lived a radical life. He was sold out to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Here's a fairly common example. It's 10 minutes to 4 in the afternoon.
Yes.
He needs to run down the hall. So he'll go down the hall, but somebody comes out of the bookstore and wants to talk to him. And what will he do? Well, Al stops and talks. And that's how generous he was. And it wasn't just that he talked, it wasn't just pleasantries. Al would shift gears. Whatever gear this person might have, Al would make sure that he discerned that gear, he shifted gears. He would then listen. He would posit ideas. He would ask questions. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit's involved here.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 minutes to four, of course, his producer comes scrambling out of the studio door, getting him back to the studio, because he realized there's 1.5 million other people who want to have a one-on-one conversation with him, because they too were made in the image and likeness of God, and Jesus just wants a minute of his time. He never said no.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, Mike, that maybe you could go into, because you knew Al the best in that way, and historically, is what's great about Al's story, if you get to know it, is, you know, he wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
He was a guitarist. Apparently,
guitarist.
He dropped some acid somewhere along in his journey.
So
you're talking about somebody who made a radical conversion first to Jesus Christ and then obviously to the Catholic Church, right?
Yeah, he basically says that he was seduced by drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And he was a great musician, a very good musician. He traveled quite a bit. And he then got hooked up into the New Age movement. And actually, you are an expert there. He became part of an I Am movement. Do you know the I Am?
Oh, of course.
He was part of that, the Ascended Masters. And the Jesus Christ that they introduced him to was not the Jesus Christ that...
Of the Gospels.
Of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And when he discovered that Jesus Christ, he was sold out to that Jesus Christ. And he became a Protestant, and he played Protestant talk shows. He became a Protestant minister. And then, as you just heard, he discovers, oh, my gosh, I'm a Catholic, you know,
right.
And now he's sold out to that, right? Because truth has a name, and Al thirsted for truth.
One of the other elements about him that a lot of folks may not be so alert to is that he also had a very great fondness for Mother Angelica.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that was an important part of his life as well. Doug, were you familiar with that?
Well, In general, I always felt like any time we talked about programming and things like that, you know, Mother's mission was always in that mix of discussions. He always saw what he was trying to do and what they were trying to do at Ave Maria in tandem with us was something that was always going to be, fit in with Mother's mission. And we always say it's her mission. It's not our mission.
Right.
The Lord gave it to her. Okay, we're trying our best to live it out and continue to go along. And Al was part of that. And I think he saw in Mother that same kind of willingness to sacrifice whatever it took to follow the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it meant from rock and roll to I Am, he was searching. He was searching for the right thing, and he finally found it. The pearl of great price. He found it, and he bought the field or the treasure, mixing my parables here, but that's okay. And so
they're close to each other.
That's
in the
right. But that's at least okay. You get the idea. And of course, Mother was so much a person who had always been on that. And I think the two of them had that same vision of reaching out, because Mother really wanted post, let's say, at least World Youth Day in 93, to really stand up and really say, I've got to focus on Catholics. Catholics need to be recatechized in their faith. We've got to reintroduce those devotionals and those kind of things. And that's the kind of approach Al had as well to speaking to Catholics intellectually, but also with a prayerful devotional aspect as well.
Yes.
There's a portrait of Mother that he has, and she has her crutches. And it sits, he can look at his monitor, the window through his producers or his guests. And just right to the left of his monitor is this portrait of Mother with her crutches. And I know that meant a lot to him. She was an inspiration, not only in listening to the Lord and following her call, but his own fidelity to his call, and also suffering. Mm-hmm. And suffering for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he never let that waste.
That's a great point.
Never let that waste. It's incredible.
And what was the phrase that you like to use about bringing down the hay?
You're bringing the hay down so the goats can get it.
Well, exactly. As brilliant as Al certainly was, clearly, he would never use the $5 words just to be, showing off.
No.
He would communicate just like Mother would.
Yeah.
And really make it very clear so that even a dodo like me would understand exactly the concept that he was trying to point out.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
Tom, you're getting better, don't worry.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Even Adrian, your wife, says so.
Now you're talking.
Okay, right.
Doug mentions, the whole idea of, now I'm dropping my thread here, someone's picking up. The comment I wanted to make was, Al used to call what you were talking about, faith is like spit. It's good to have, but keep it to yourself.
Oh.
And that's what he thought of your, when you, that's an example.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
This is also why I don't get a microphone, Father. Don't get me going down the wrong track.
And I'm not sure of this, but some years ago, Mother had called for a call to holiness movement.
Yes.
Was Al involved in that?
The call to holiness, I believe.
It was a conference.
Yes, the conference was in Detroit.
Yes.
And I believe
Grotto,
that.
Right?
And I believe that was, that's right.
The Ave Maria Grotto.
And I believe that that's where Mother made her first call for people to buy radio stations, and she would give, or at least in the conference anyway. I
think yes, she did that on the air.
She did it on the air.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's where Tom Monahan said yes.
Okay.
And he bought a station, right? So mm-hmm. Mother's yes, Tom's yes, Al's yes.
Yeah.
These fiats are critical to carry out the Lord's words.
Something that's true for every single one of us. This is what all of us are called to say yes to, what God asks of us, given the situations we're in.
Yeah.
It's something that when, having known Al, Mother, and lots of others over the years who said yes to God and didn't have the resources, but did have faith.
Yeah.
And that was something that kept whatever they were doing going, because they knew it was the task of God, our Lord, not their own thing. And I think that's something also key to mention at this point. I can remember when Mother, had her strokes back in 2001, and there were some people saying with a certain pep in their step that, well, now EWTN is all over. It's done with Mother gone. And that's not the way she set it up, And people, I've heard a couple of comments. People say, well, Al Cresta's gone. That's the end of Ave Maria Radio. That's not the case either, is it?
It really isn't. Al's faithfulness to his call provided us the roadmap, provides us the strength, the structure, mm-hmm. The faith to carry on. And mm-hmm. there's so much that we've built, so much that he the Popchecks, Teresa, Dr. Ray, our relationships with Renewal Ministry in Acts 29, and of course, the most important, with EWTN. These are all, there's so much synergy, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we carry on.
And it's also what I think is key to caring, to go back to what I just said, it's also people who trust in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's not trusting that, oh, it's all Al Cresta's thing, it's all Mother Angelica's thing, or all our, no, it's Jesus' thing.
It's Jesus'
thing. And we're just there trying to keep up with him.
Mother used to say, I'm just a donkey pulling the cart.
That's it.
That's it. And again, as you guys did, and any of the apostolates do, and certainly Mother was probably the saint of it, hopefully in the future, of relying on God's providence.
Yeah.
And knowing that trust. And there's so many stories, obviously, in the books that Raymond wrote about that, the satellite dish and the other things like that. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there were pretty similar situations that over the years have happened at Ave Maria with Al, where things look like they weren't going to go out the right way, and you just say, well, we got to keep going because this is the right thing. And suddenly something shows up to support what you're doing.
Speaking of something showing up, we have Dr. Ray, who's the host of The Doctor Is In and the Dr. Ray podcast. Dr. Ray Guarendi, are you there?
Father Mitch, how are you?
Better for talking to you. You doing all right?
I just want to know how much better, though. That's what matters. Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to quantify it. But you yourself knew Al Cresta pretty well. Tell us about some of your own contact with him.
My second book was called Back to the Family. He was with KMUZ at the time. He called me. I didn't know who he was. I just heard he was some basically radio host on a Christian station. We met, and we went out to eat afterward. And I smelled that this guy was thinking Catholic at the time. And I was totally impressed by the guy's intellect. I mean, he just sliced through the key themes and what we were talking about in that book. I was totally impressed. Then when I found out he went to Ave, he offered me the job. A few people know this. He came to me and offered me the job. I had been elsewhere, and he offered me this, and he's done so much over the 20 years that I've got this ongoing, terrorizing nightmare that I'm standing behind Al Cresta in the judgment line, and I hear God say, you know, Al, you could have done more. And at that point, I'm just skipping the line. I'm just getting out of there. I love the way Doug Keck described it. He said it was a titanic loss. Al's intellect, his... Mike Jones has always said that one of the problems Al had in interviewing is he had to hold himself back because he often knew more than the guest about the topic. But the thing that was so impressive about the guy, he's just a man of God, flat out. I think, I have no doubt, he's going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Were you about to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, how many people did we hear at the wake, at the funeral, that said, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, it was an ongoing theme for those days.
It really was.
And you got to think of, as we were talking about earlier, and I thought really connected with the idea of suffering and Mother Angelica. Yes. And you think about Al having to put up with Dr. Ray as another indication of his holliness.
Now that's suffering. So.
I carried him for 5 years.
That's, you know, something that, why that wheelchair just added to your burden, right?
That's right.
I was on the interstate. I was driving somewhere on the interstate when I forget who called me because Al had just gone into the hospital. And they said that at that point he was unconscious and they had to make a decision about the necrotizing fasciitis on his leg. I remember that. It's one of those flashbulb memories where you know where you are when you hear this. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, no, no. But then when I was finding out that his life was saved, I guess that was a major relief. I have bugged him for so long, and I think Sally might confirm this. I said, Al, you've got to do some strength training. You've got to. You know, you've been in the chair, and you're such a heady guy that you don't want to neglect that aspect of your health. And I know this last several months he was getting on me. He's saying, Ray, I'm doing it. I'm doing the exercises, upper body. And I said, Al, that's the fountain of youth. You got to go for it.
Yep. We have Teresa Tomeo with us one more time. Teresa, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, Father, and with you guys, because I think you really appreciate this. We had this beautiful email come in. I read this on my program this morning. It just came in yesterday. It's one of our listeners from New Jersey, Patricia. And she was on vacation during the whole process when we heard that Al was on his way to heaven, and she had no idea, and she was so sad, and she wrote, for the last 8 years since my retirement in 2016, I have listened to EWTN daily. There are four voices that always inspire my day, my thoughts, and my spiritual growth. Al Cresta, Dr. David Anders, Father Mitch, and you, she's referring to my show. It has been such a gift to listen to each of you, the guests you bring to your programs, and the insights shared on the air. Like Father Benedict, Al's voice and gifts can be shared forward through the medium EWTN. What a gift. And I think this is a really important point. And Doug and I were talking about this on Catholic Connection last week, where we had several days of programming dedicated to Al, that what EWTN has done so beautifully is keep the memory and the teaching of Mother Angelica alive with all the great bumpers, as we call it, in radio, and all the different programs that you're able to re-air because of, you know, technology. And think of all the material that we have to work with after Al being on the air for 25 plus years. And the one thing I think, a big thing I'm really going to miss, excuse me, I'm getting a little bit choked up over this, but I could always count on Al to talk to him, especially during election seasons, because as you mentioned earlier, he was always so calm. And Father Mitch, and all you guys know me, even Grendy, I know, is on the phone too, that I'm Italian, so I wear my heart on my sleeve, but I could always count on Al to kind of like calm me down and say, okay, T, this is what we need to do. And it's going to be, I think, really, I'll probably feel it the most in, I think, during the election season, the loss, because he was always such a balance and could help us all get and maintain perspective. I still can't wrap my head around it. I think because it happened so quickly, that's what hurt so much. So, yeah, I mean, as this listener said, it's a great loss for so many people. And I love the fact that he connected so well with the listeners. That, I mean, this is just one of dozens of emails that I received, and I'm sure our other host did too. So, again, it's hard to wrap up, even in an hour or the 2 days or 3 days of program we did last week on the commitment and what he gave to us in the Catholic world.
Oh, thank you very much for that. We actually have to take a little break. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. And if any of you have any questions or comments about something that you heard on one of Al's programs or something else along that line, please call in. We'll be happy to take your comments. Welcome back. We are together talking about a good friend, Al Cresta, who passed away just a short time ago on June 15th. And we are with the president and CEO of Ave Maria Communications, Mr. Michael Jones, also EWTN Radio's programming director, Mr. Tom Price, and the EWTN president and COO, Mr. Doug Keck, plus Teresa Tamio via Skype, and Dr. Ray Grendy is on the phone. So we've got a cast of thousands tonight. It's great to have all of you with us. We have, I think, one more question from our studio audience. Sir, would you mind going over to the microphone there? And we'll get to your question, because you had something that you wanted to follow up on what we had said. First of all, where are you from?
My name is Deacon Tom Ray from the Toledo Diocese, and I'm down here with actually three other deacons spending some time at the Shrine of Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. But I was curious because when Doug Keck was talking about this call to holiness, that conference, I guess, that had taken place, if there was one specific component or comment about what someone like myself or anyone, what specific call to holiness could we follow?
And I'd like to just start off to give context. There had been a conference called the Call to Action.
Right.
There had been a couple of those meetings. That basically fell apart. But it was people interested in some of the social justice issues. But they had also gone way, way off the rails. One of their liturgies, they had bread passed around to the tables, and the priest attempted consecrating it. He was up on a stage, and everybody else was at the tables, and then they just left whatever was left over there. Mm-hmm. And it was really infuriated Mother Angelica, and she said the response to their version of the call to action is what the Vatican II Council actually said in Lumen Gentium, which is there's a call to holiness. So that's how that got started. But
no, well, I would say that Teresa probably could speak to it better than me, but exactly what you said. You had a very liberal kind of avant-garde out there, similar to what happened in 93, and this was really a call to holiness, which was really, I think, to refocus on the Eucharist, refocus on the devotionals, and for Catholics to realize that they have the strength behind them, mm-hmm. because we have the truth, as we've said before. And that was really what my understanding of the call to holiness would have speakers there, et cetera. I guess Teresa was one of the MCs. So, but I don't remember whether there was a particular formula that said one thing you need to do, but I think mm-hmm. Mother was always, you know, the Eucharist, Eucharistic devotion, going to Mass, going to confession. You know, there's nothing unique under the sun for Catholicism. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, we might repackage it in different ways, but when you boil it all down, there's a series of core truths that all revolve around our Lord. So.
And something that was crucial to Mother was, spending time before the Blessed Sacrament in prayer. She had told me once that she needed, this wasn't just like, showing off. No, I need to spend 4 hours for every 1 hour I'm on TV. You know, that was. You also had a comment on that?
No, I'm wondering if this, it may have grew out of, it was at the time when Mother also had groups of people around the country. And I think Teresa was the host. No, Teresa, you were the host of the one in Detroit at the Assumption
right.
Grotto.
Right.
And, and so you'd have a lot more to say about
it. Yeah, Teresa, do you have some comments on that too?
Well, I was just going to say that it grew. It began and was located at Assumption Grotto, a large parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit, but then it grew so large they had to move it out to conference centers. And Mike, if you remember, that's when I think I had been on air with Ave for about 3 years at that point. Then we got involved in promoting it and interviewing a lot of the guests on our programs, mine and Al's. And then I started to MC it, and I wasn't there for this particular event, but Mother Angelica actually came and spoke at that event. And
yes.
Getting back to the deacon's question, she came in from Alabama, and she was one of the big speakers one year. I remember that when they had moved it to a large conference center. But getting back to the deacon's questions and reiterating what Doug said, it really was basic in terms of let's get back to the basics of the faith. And they brought in amazing speakers on the Eucharist, on the sacraments, a lot about the sacrament of marriage, a lot about the pro-life issues, and a lot about the priesthood. Because one of the big activities of the call to action, and Father Mitch, you probably remember this because you spent a lot of time in Detroit in college, is they were pushing for female priests and female deacons. That was a big thing that they were doing with this call to action group. So it was just such a beautiful event because they were packed every year. They were sold out, and the speakers were wonderful. And it was just getting back to the basics of the faith and who we were as Catholics, truly.
And the conference continues. They still have this conference each year.
Mm-hmm.
It is changed in its scope and dynamic, but it's right. called to holiness.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's something that is authentically Vatican II. That's something that folks sometimes forget. They would get these versions of what's called the spirit of Vatican II that has nothing to do with the text. And then when they falsify what the Vatican Council actually said, it creates problems that other people say, well, Vatican II is ruining the church. No, it's not. It's the people misinterpreting it and who miss Vatican II's call to holiness. Mother was just trying to say, let's get back to that. I have dubbed paint by numbers, stay inside the lines Catholicism, where you're happy with the picture. You know, you like the picture, so that's a good thing. We have another question from our studio audience. Sir, where are you from?
I'm Deacon Mike from the Toledo Diocese in Toledo.
Huh. There's a bunch of you here then.
Personally thank the Cresta family for all the support they've given to Al in allowing him to do what he's done. Over the last 20 years or so, I've been a coach, teacher, and principal of various schools in the Toledo Diocese, and invariably I'd have a 30-minute to 45-minute ride home every day, and I would always be listening to him, and many times when I would stop the car, I would keep the car on so I could finish listening to his comments, because they were always most effective for me as a principal, that I could share other ideas with other principals or with my staff. So thank you to the Cresta family for allowing this to happen.
That's a very good point.
I think it was brilliant to make it an afternoon show. Mm-hmm. If Al had been on a morning drive, and I know that in the past he had done some morning radio, but it was not the great fit that it was in the afternoon. When you've got a little bit of time to think as you're unwinding from your day, it just made sense to be listening to really important topics, not only of, as Doug was saying, something that you're reading in the New York Times, but of the faith. How does it all tie together? Mm-hmm. This was mm-hmm. a brilliant move.
Yeah, that was a good thing. And again, he could, approach the times and the Bible.
Yes,
right.
So well, but with a calm that oftentimes is not present on a lot of the more political shows mm-hmm. of either the right or the left. Mm-hmm. He was focusing not on my side winning, but on the truth right. of Jesus Christ.
You know, he truly believed and lived the idea that Jesus is Lord of all. Mm-hmm. He's Lord of the news. He's Lord of politics. He's Lord of sports. He's Lord of entertainment and theater. He's Lord of music. He's Lord of everything. And that's what he loved, put those Catholic lenses on anything you're looking at. Whatever the topic was, Jesus can be found there mm-hmm. or needs to be there,
exactly.
needs to be put in there.
Exactly. Dr. Ray, you have a comment yourself.
There were times when Al and I got into some discussions about emotional adjustments, mm-hmm. diagnoses. What impressed me is he had a better sense about the reality of it all than so many clinicians. Mm-hmm. He just did. He homed in on the real nature of what we were talking about. And I never really had to get into any detail with Al because he already knew the detail. So I just kind of sat there and listened to him and gained knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sensitivity to, like you saw with understanding emotional and other and social difficulties people had, were partly because he was a pastor as well as a commentator. Mm-hmm. And he had a pastoral concern that never left. He may not have been in the pulpit, but that never stopped him from remaining a pastoral person who focused on what was good for that other person rather than what fit my theory. I think that's one of the ways I would characterize the difference between some clinicians who want things to fit their theory versus folks sensitive to the actual experience of people you care for.
You know,
regarding Al's personality, what you heard is what you get.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So many radio personalities are different off the mic than they are on the mic. Al was exactly the same across. He was exactly the same guy. There was no difference whatsoever. And I think that's a real testimony to his humility.
Yeah.
Father, could I jump in for 1 second?
Because please, there's something please, I think Teresa.
That's also really important. And I think we know it. I think some people know it who may have heard Al speak about it. But one of the other things, too, and this really, I think, picks up on what Dr. Ray was saying about his understanding of things, especially from an emotional and psychological perspective. Al was also very vulnerable. And I can remember a few years ago, and Mike probably remembers this too, on the Good News Cruise, when Al and Sally gave their testimony, as all the most of the speakers did, and gave a real incredible story. His was very unique, though, because they dealt in that particular testimony about the struggle in their marriage when he was dealing with severe depression. And he was very honest and open about it. And oftentimes, when you're in the media or you're in the spotlight, people think, oh, well, these people have it great. They don't have any problems. But there was Al Cresta, this giant intellect, and you know, this man so well-known in radio was just basically opening himself up to something extremely private and painful that he had gone through as a young husband. And it was an incredible story, and Sally sharing her perspective as a wife. And I can remember sitting in that room, that giant auditorium on this huge cruise ship. You could have heard, you know, the proverbial cliche, a pin drop. People were just stunned at the pain that he was so honest about, but the fact that here he was just really opening himself up to people. So he understood a lot of things from a different perspective than most of us because of the suffering he went through, I think.
Thank you for that. And that's the kind of story I had not heard from him, but that's a very important one.
Teresa shared an email from a listener. Could I share one as well?
Yes, please.
This is one that came in really just last Wednesday, a week ago. As you know, we get emails constantly all day long, and,
sure.
and Doug often shares some of these with all employees. So this is one that came in from a listener named Margie. I don't know where she lives, but here it is. I will miss Al Cresta. These five past years, since my husband passed away into his eternal life, Al has been a constant friend to me by radio. I will miss his sincere care, concern, compassion, wit, and wisdom. His daily insights, interviewees, and book recommendations have increased my understanding of my faith and my prayer life and attending Mass and receiving Holy Eucharist and confession. My relationship to the Trinity, the saints, family, and community, I value and nurture daily. Al, I will miss hearing your voice daily, but you have kept and shared your faith. I am happy you are in your eternal home. I hope to live my life following your examples. Please pray for us as I pray for your family, friends, and colleagues' comfort as they heal from the loss of your physical presence. Signed, a grateful EWTN listener and viewer, Margie.
Yeah.
I think that summarizes
it. Yeah, sure does. Sure does. We do have to come to a close. You have just about another minute and a half left. Any final words?
The only point I wanted to make was I thought you hit it, really on the head, and probably explains a lot, even to myself, in the sense of his approach, that pastoral approach that he really did. He was always reflective. Whenever he talked about any discussions, you know, he tempered, you know, you could see that he was struggling for the right word at times to make sure people understood what he was trying to say, but he always said it. And people shouldn't be afraid to totally lose Al Cresta. As Teresa said, there's all this material out there, and certainly I know, Mike, with whatever programming we're planning on in the future, in that kind of a slot, Al's going to play a part in that, right?
He'll play a part throughout. His voice will not go away.
Right.
In the last 30 seconds or so?
Basically, Al understood that radio is a very intimate medium.
Yes.
And he truly spoke to one person on the radio. And that's that pastor's heart.
Absolutely. Teresa, do you have a few words in the last few seconds?
I was just going to say what Mike said. He understood the personal nature of radio, but he was very personal and very intimate with people, and he was very open and vulnerable, and he was real. As Ray said, what you heard is what you got with Al. It was sincerity.
And Dr. Ray?
Anybody who says that Ave and Catholic radio is going to turn into a ditch is completely wrong. Al would be the first one to tell them that.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah. It's not about us; it's about Jesus,
amen.
And He
amen.
Raises up more to do what He wants us to do.
Yes.
Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
And may the Lord bless you all. May the Lord grant eternal rest unto Al, and keep all of us alert to how we can serve our Lord. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being with us, and we can do this and present old shows by Al, new shows by all folks coming after him and all of us, only because this network is brought to you by you. I know it's tough times, but we still ask if you would please keep us in between your gas bill, your electric bill, and your cable bill, and we'll pay our bills too. God bless you all, and thank you.